The Reformation did not begin and end in the 16th century. Reformation continues on. The church must always be reforming. The church is reformed and always reforming. Why? Because Satan does not rest. Satan is working very hard to destroy God's truth, to destroy God's church. And the Lord has already called us to be very discerning, to be wary of the wiles of the devil. We have to put on the whole armor of God. We have to wield the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God itself, that we might protect our faith and preserve our faith, not only for our generation, for succeeding future generations, that our children and our children's children would know the gospel and would have the faith kept intact for them, that they might know the truth and be saved as well. And that's why over here in Jude verse 3 we are told, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith." Defend the faith. The faith that's found in the whole of Scriptures, the canonical Scriptures, all these 66 books from Genesis to Revelation, how the Bible must be taught, and not only taught, but defended. This once for all delivered unto the saints' faith is found in God's Word. And so, in the spirit of the Reformers, we have also Reformers in the modern day. In the last century, the 20th century, and in this century, God is calling for 21st century defenders of the faith. Remember them who have the rule over you, who have taught you the Word of God. And how we thank the Lord that even today the Lord has raised up good and spiritual leaders and teachers to help us and to guide us in the faith, to encourage us to walk in the straight and narrow way, and what warn us of the errors and the falsehoods and the dangers surrounding us, especially in these last days, when there's so many false Christs and false prophets, a false Christianity today. The Lord is coming back very soon. And we must earnestly contend for the faith. Again, it's not by chance that the book of Jude that warns us of apostasy, of falling away from the faith, and of false Christ and false prophets and false teachings and doctrines is found just before the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, which talks about the second coming of Christ and the end of the world. And just before the Lord comes back, there'll be a great falling away from the faith. And if we don't want to fall away from the faith, we better catch the Reformation spirit and earnestly contend for the faith. And we thank the Lord for raising up His servants, the prophets, to proclaim His truth and defend the truth even in our modern day. And today, again, I want to talk about two figures. In Reformation today, there are also two outstanding figures we want to remember. The first is Dr. Carl McIntyre. Dr. Carl McIntyre. Those of you who are Bible Presbyterians would know him very well. I've met him only once when I attended the Far Eastern Council of Christian Churches conference in Jakarta. And he was there in that meeting. Dr. Carl McIntyre. Well, he was born in 1906 and died in 2002, the ripe old age of 96 years old. And the Lord raised him for such a time as this. He was the founder of the Bible Presbyterian Church in the United States of America, and also the International Council of Christian Churches, and the 20th century Reformation movement. And after he passed away, while he was a great stalwart of the faith, books were written about him, and I want to bring your attention to these two books, which I've read in preparation. First one is this one, McIntyre, Defender of Faith and Freedom by Gladys Rhodes and Nancy Anderson. These two are longtime members of the Bible Presbyterian Church in the United States and knew him well. So they wrote this book, this biography of McIntyre. Another book is this one, written by a PhD from Cambridge, a historian, Fighting Fundamentalists, Carl McIntyre and the Politicization of American Fundamentalism, by Marco Rotsilla. He's a PhD from Cambridge, and he wrote this from more of a political perspective, how McIntyre, in the last century, in the United States, he was a champion for freedom, and he spoke against and warned against communism. So that was in the political sphere. But in the religious sphere, which we are more interested in, well, McIntyre untirelessly and fervently warned against liberalism or modernism and neo-evangelicalism. What is modernism? What is liberalism? And what is neo-evangelicalism? Well, liberalism arose in the late 19th century, and how in an age of so-called enlightenment or rationalism, and people say God is dead, we are God. We have the intelligence, the ability to change the world. And so it's not through religion, not through Christianity. Man is God. And we have the know-how, we have the intelligence to change the world. So in those days, people began to also undermine and attack the scriptures and the Christian faith, these liberals, who followed the theory of Darwin, evolutionism, survival of the fittest, things evolve and change through course of time, and nothing was created. There was no God who created everything. And then they began to dissect the Bible and try to destroy the Bible, tear the Bible apart. The Bible is not God's word, it's just human literature. And so liberalism began to creep into the church, the Presbyterian Church of the United States in those days. And by, false teachers emerged and arose and began to deny the fundamentals of the faith. So that in 1924, in what is known as the Auburn Affirmation, which is not an affirmation, it's a defamation of the Christian faith, the Presbyterian Church of the United States of America, PCUSA, denied the five fundamentals of the Christian faith. Number one, they denied the inerrancy of Scripture. You see, the Bible contains a lot of mistakes. It's full of mistakes. It's not the perfect Word of God. They denied the inerrancy of Scripture. Number two, they denied the virgin birth of Christ. Number three, they denied the miracles of Christ. Number four, they denied the substitutionary atonement of Christ. Christ didn't die on the cross for our sins. Nothing like that happened. And then, if he did not die on the cross, then did he rise from the dead? No, there is no resurrection. They denied the resurrection of Christ. These five fundamentals. You deny these five fundamentals, then there is no good news, no gospel, no salvation. Of course, these liberals would deny heaven and hell. You know, after you die, we are like animals. Darwin, evolutionism, we are just glorified monkeys, and gorillas, right? The animals die, that's the end. When we die, that's the end. There's no life after death, no judgment to come, no heaven or hell. It's only this life we can live for. No God. no judgment. So they denied. And this was taught in the church. And J. Gresham Machen, who was an ordained minister of the Presbyterian Church of the United States of America and also a professor of the New Testament at Princeton Theological Seminary, which was a seminary of the PCUSA, well, defended the faith. See, there's always a man that God will raise to stand in the gap. And J. Gresham Machen had students who held to the same stand and spirit, and one of them was Carl McIntyre. He was a student of Machen. So later, Machen left Princeton Seminary and the PCUSA. He practiced separation and separated from the apostate denomination, the Presbyterian Church, to start a new Presbyterian denomination called the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, and a new seminary called Westminster Theological Seminary. And McIntyre, student of Machen, followed his teacher and continued his studies and graduated from Westminster and became a member of the OPC, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. But although McIntyre took the same stand as Machen against liberalism that denied the inerrancy of Scripture, the virgin birth of Christ, the miracles of Christ, the substitutionary atonement and the resurrection, and fought against the modernists, McIntyre did not agree with his teacher Machen in two areas. One, in the area of the second coming of Christ. McIntyre believed that Jesus Christ is going to come back and establish his kingdom here on earth for 1,000 years. And Israel is going to be restored and will become a great nation. And the Lord Jesus, the greatest son of David, must sit on the throne of his father David to rule over the whole world for 1,000 years. And this is according to many, many prophecies in the Old Testament, to be understood literally. Jesus must reign for 1,000 years. And we read that also in Revelation chapter 20. And we, believers, will reign with him also for 1,000 years. This is called the doctrine of premillennialism. Christ will come back before the millennium. But Machen didn't believe in the millennium of Christ on earth, 1,000 years, a literal physical millennium. Says the millennium is spiritual, it's right now. It's nothing to do with Israel, it has everything to do with the church. So no millennium. So they differ on this matter. And the second thing they differed on was the area of smoking and drinking. Machen says, well, Christians can smoke moderately and drink moderately. McIntyre, his student, says, no, we have to practice abstinence. Don't smoke, don't drink as Christians. And I think McIntyre was right. Because you smoke, you drink, you can become addicted. It will also affect your testimony. You break the commandment, thou shalt not kill. You smoke and drink, you are destroying your body. And we must maintain a good testimony, not a worldly one. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. And so McIntyre was against smoking and drinking. So there was this disagreement, and McIntyre felt he cannot remain in the OPC. And so he separated and left the OPC to found the Bible Presbyterian Church of the United States of America. And the Lord used him mightily. It became a movement. And he called for a 20th century reformation because of the liberals. They were teaching all these falsehoods, and he had to expose them. And this 20th century reformation is not only to be a national movement in the United States, It must be a global movement. And so Carl McIntyre also founded a seminary, a school, Faith Theological Seminary. And students from all over the world came to study at Faith Seminary, and also McIntyre in calling for a 20th century Reformation, organized a council called the International Council of Christian Churches to earnestly contend for the faith, to fight the good fight of faith against the World Council of Churches, which was dominated and controlled by the liberals and the modernists, who wanted to form a one world church, but not on the basis of truth. You can believe what you want. And later on, not just a one world church, but a one world religion. All other religions also invited to form a one world religion. And that would, of course, destroy the testimony of the gospel, where Jesus says, I'm the only way, only truth, only life. Not all religions will get you to heaven. Jesus is the only way. Only Jesus says. No other name given among men whereby we can be saved. Only one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So he fought against the ecumenical movement in the World Council of Churches. And so started the International Council of Christian Churches. And that's why the World Council of Churches is called World Council of Churches, not Christian Churches. And they took Christ and Christian away from the name, because they don't want to identify themselves fully and totally with Christ or anything Christian. But McIntyre calls his organization International Council of Christian Churches. Christ, number one. And Scriptures, number one. And it was a global movement. And the Lord used him to defend the faith, the doctrine of the verbal and plenary inspiration of Scriptures, because the liberal says the Bible is not God's word, not inspired of God. But what does the Bible say in 2 Timothy 3:16? All Scriptures given by inspiration of God. 100% perfect without any mistake. And the new evangelicals later came into the picture and say, well, the Bible may be God's word, but not altogether God's word. The Bible is only God's word in areas of salvation, spiritual things. But when the Bible talks about history, geography and signs, names and places, numbers and dates, well, it is full of mistakes. Well, if the Bible has mistakes in these areas of history, geography and science, then what makes us so sure that it has no mistakes on salvation and spiritual matters? Then you better doubt your salvation, the good news, whether it's the truth or not. So McIntyre fought the good fight of faith. No, the Bible is inspired. And how is it inspired? It is plenarily inspired, the whole of Scripture, as an organic unity. From Genesis to Revelation is 100% the Word of God. And not only as a whole, but also in its parts. To the last word, verbal inspiration. So we believe in verbal and plenary inspiration. Bible is inspired, infallible, inerrant as a whole, all the 66 books, and also in its parts, even to the last iota, dot of the I, cross of the T, verbal, the last word, verbal inspiration. And that good fight was fought. If God be for us, who can be against us, right? We have the victory. And that battle has been won already in the 20th century, that all evangelical, Bible-believing churches and Christians, in their constitution, in their statement of faith, would have these words. When they say they believe the Bible, what do we mean when we say we believe the Bible to be infallible, inerrant? Well, it's We believe the Bible to be infallible, inerrant, no mistakes, and incapable of mistakes because it's verbally and plenarily inspired. This is found in our BP Constitution as well. That battle was fought and won. That's one good thing McIntyre did. Fight for the good faith. Battle for the Bible. And that battle was fought and won in the 20th century. So the Lord used Dr. Carl McIntyre for that. But in the 21st century, again, Satan, like a roaring lion, is always on the prowl, seeking whom he may devour. And he does not stop, does not rest. He doesn't go on a holiday, on a vacation. He will try to undermine the truth and destroy the church. In another way, if he does not succeed in this way, he will go by another way. And now, again, the attack is on the Bible. Okay, you say the Bible is verbally and plenarily inspired in the very beginning when it was given. After all these thousands of years, do you still have the same Bible? Is the Bible still perfect? Or after all these years, the Bible today contains mistakes, it's not 100% anymore. And contains some mistakes. Do we have a 100% Bible today? 100% perfect without any mistake? And that's to do with the doctrine of preservation. Well, thank God that Dr. Carl McIntyre had a faithful student. And it's none other than our founding pastor and the principal, founding principal of the Far Eastern Bible College, the Reverend Dr. Timothy Toh. Well, the Reverend Dr. Timothy Toh studied under McIntyre when he was at Faith Theological Seminary. Well, the Lord raised him up also for such a time as this. For Reverend Toh was the son of a mother's vow. And he was born again at the Johnson Revival, the Singapore Pentecost, under Dr. Johnson. And Dr. Johnson was also very forceful in exposing and preaching against all these liberals. Against liberalism. Of course, the devil tempted Timothy Toh. As a young man, after the war, he was very ambitious. He wanted to achieve something great in his life, make a name for himself. And so he booked a ticket to London. He was already accepted to study in London, to study law. But he was a son of a mother's vow. Mother had already given him to the Lord. And it was the Lord's will for him not to be a lawyer. And maybe if he had gone to London, he would have met our late founding Prime Minister, Lee Kuan Yew. And with all the ambition that he had, he probably would have gotten into politics and become one of the governors of Singapore. Who knows? But that was not the path for Timothy Toh. God had a higher plan for him. You are to be a pastor and a theologian. So God stopped his tracks. Two deaths in a few weeks. His beloved mother and youngest daughter. You see, it's like Pharaoh telling Calvin, if you don't be a pastor, God is going to curse you. Well, that was, I think, the word from God to him. You want to go your own way, you'll be cursed. So he had to humble himself and submit to God's will and plan. And then he went to China to study at Nanking Spiritual Training Theological Seminary under Dr. Chia Yu Ming, the first theologian of China. And later on, he went to the United States to study at Faith Theological Seminary under Dr. Carl McIntyre. And he shared how when he heard McIntyre at a chapel service, and McIntyre was calling for young men to take a stand for the Lord in a 20th century Reformation, to fight the good fight of faith against modernism. He said, "My heart was strangely warmed." And so his heart was knit to McIntyre to, yes, stand with him to fight this good fight of faith in the 20th century Reformation. And later on, the Reverend Dr. Timothy Toh was appointed president of the Far Eastern Council of Christian Churches. And of course, did a great deal in the Far East, in Southeast Asia especially, to promote the Bible Presbyterian movement and the Reformation movement. And Bible Presbyterian churches not only grew in Singapore, but also in Southeast Asia. And Dr. Keith Hinton, former lecturer at the Singapore Bible College, he wrote a book called Growing Churches Singapore Style. It says the Bible Presbyterian Church is the fastest growing church in Singapore, next to the charismatic churches. And why? It's not because they preach a popular health and wealth kind of message. In fact, their message is very unpopular. You must separate yourself from the world. Lead a godly life. Believe the Bible. Very strict membership terms. And yet people came. Indeed, you can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth, you honor the Lord will honor you. We must never compromise. And so the Lord used also the Reverend Dr. Timothy Toh to fight the good fight of faith, not in the 20th century, but in the 21st century. The attack on the scriptures, and this time the attack against the preservation of the scriptures. Do we have God's word today? Satan is saying, yea, hath God said? And it's said that many today deny that the Bible is 100% perfect without any mistake today. They say, yes, God's word has no mistakes in the past, in the very beginning when it was given, but today, well, it's not so perfect anymore. There are some mistakes in the Bible. No mistakes in the area of salvation or the gospel or on spiritual things, but there are mistakes in the area of numbers and dates and things of that sort. We don't believe that. Because the Bible doesn't say anything like that. What does the Bible say? God has not only inspired his words 100%, God says, I promise you, I myself will keep and preserve my words pure throughout the ages, so that in every generation, not only you, but your children, your children's children, your children's, your grandchildren's children, down through the ages, will always have the pure, pristine Word of God to read, to study, and to live by. You'll be sure of God's Word. 100%, the sole and supreme and final authority of your faith and practice. And in order for the Scriptures to be the sole, supreme and final authority of faith and practice, surely, logically, it must be 100% perfect without any mistake. And did God do it? You see, again, it's a matter of faith. Do you believe God? Do you believe His Word? Do you believe He has done what He has promised? I believe God. I believe His Word. I believe His power. I believe His promise. And the Reverend Dr. Timothy Toh, immediately when he knew this truth, said, Amen. We must call for a 21st century reformation to defend the Bible today. And where does the Bible, where does God tell us that He will preserve His words pure? 100% perfect without any mistake. Turn to Psalm 12. Psalm 12. 6 to 7. Let's read together this verse. Psalm 12, 6 to 7. Let's read together. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Right? Who will do the preserving work? God Himself. Can God fail? God cannot fail. Whatever He does is perfect. It's not man's work, it's God's work. And this word is 100% because precisely it's not man's word, but God's word. God makes no mistakes. He is truth. He does not lie. And then Jesus Himself said, Matthew 5, turn to Matthew 5. Matthew 5 and verse 18. Now let's read this together. Matthew 5, 18. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Amen. To the last word, to the last jot and tittle, shall in no wise disappear until all be fulfilled. So God will make sure of that. Because, you know, if one stroke or one dot is missing from a word, it can change the meaning of the word, and not just the meaning of the word, the whole sentence. The meaning of the whole sentence can change, and then we understand things wrongly. For instance, you know the hymn, blessed be the tie that binds. But if the stroke of the T is missing or removed, then it becomes what? Blessed be the what? Lie that binds. You see how a meaning is changed just by one stroke missing from the T? Can this happen to God's word? Missing words, missing jots and tittles, it can change the meaning of God's word. God says, I will not allow it. You can be very sure. In every generation, my people will have my 100% words, infallible, inerrant, because I have not only inspired it, I will preserve it, and I will do it myself. And I just believe in God's promise. He doesn't lie. I believe God is able to do this as He promised, because He's all-powerful. And where is the Bible today? You see, Satan has been, again, sowing seeds of confusion. And today we have 101 versions out there. Modern English Bibles. I mean, the more the merrier, isn't it? I mean, why not? All these Bible versions. Of course, the more the merrier, on condition that they all speak the same truth. They are all the same. The problem is when you compare these Bible versions with the good old Bible of the Reformation, they are so different. They're so different. We have been reading from the Authorized Version, the King James Version. This Bible is a Reformation Bible, you know, based upon inspired and preserved Hebrew and Greek texts, and many paid with their lives to print, to translate and to print this Bible. But today we have all these modern versions today, the NIV, the ESV, the RSV, the TV, and all these modern versions. And when you compare these Bibles with the good old Reformation Bible, they don't read the same. There are verses missing, words that are changed, meanings that are different. I have no time to go into detail, but one example of a missing verse, Matthew 18:11. Turn to Matthew 18:11. And here this verse. Let's read together this verse. Matthew 18:11. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. Is it a good verse? A most wonderful verse. A gospel verse. The Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. But you go to the NIV and any of these modern versions, you don't find this verse there. It's missing. Taken out. Scissored out. you have verse 10, verse 11 is missing, it goes straight to verse 12. And it's not the only verse. There are many other verses that have been cut away, snipped away, and verses where words have been changed and meanings have been changed. You may not be reading the Word of God when you read these modern versions. And that's because these modern versions are based upon a corrupt text, not the preserved text. And that's why we call people to go back to what? The Reformation. The Reformation Bible. The King James Version, which is the best, the most faithful, accurate, trustworthy English Bible for the church today. Accurately translated from the inspired and preserved originals. And of course, you need to study for yourself, be convinced of this truth. But the truth is clear and obvious. Psalm 12, 6-7, Matthew 5, 18, and many other verses tell us God's word is enduring, is preserved, it's 100% perfect without any mistake, not only in the past, but also today. And that is the reformation we need today. A church must be reformed in its thinking about the Bible, to go back to the good old path, good old faith, good old Bible, the Reformation Bible, which teaches us the Reformation faith. And thank God that McIntyre, in his old age, took a stand for preservation, and truly, who was a true disciple of McIntyre? I think it is our founding pastor, the Reverend Dr. Timothy Toh. So I've brought the book Disciples of McIntyre. Well, read the story behind the 20th and 21st century Reformation. And it is Timothy Toh. And in this book here, in memory of Carl McIntyre, 1906 to 2002, well, there are a number of eulogies penned by different people, but I read to you the one penned by the Reverend Dr. Timothy Toh. He says this: "We thank God for the great victories Dr. McIntyre won throughout his life, particularly in his Bible resolution for the King James Bible against the corrupt texts of Westcorn Hort, and for the final victory on the preservation of Scripture that is to be kept pure in all ages, which was adopted in Jerusalem in November 2002. And not only in Jerusalem in 2002, but in the 50th anniversary of the International Council held at Amsterdam in the English Reformed Church in 1998, they also put out a very good resolution for the King James Bible. So McIntyre was faithful unto death, and so was Timothy Toh. Faithful unto death, despite a lot of persecution and opposition. And those of you in the BP Church would know the kind of opposition, the sufferings Reverend Toh went through. But he was not deterred, and neither was he discouraged. Because, you see, he knew God. He knew his word. And his faith was only in the Lord Jesus and his word. And he did not compromise at all. FEBC also did not compromise. Went through a great struggle. Oh, went through a lot of pain and suffering. There are so many enemies without, and many also enemies within, who tried to destroy this doctrine and this college. But you see, you can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. If God be for us, who can be against us? And God has preserved his words, and God has preserved his school of prophets, all to the glory of his name. And I pray you, in Blessed Hope BP Church, and other churches you come from, and you name the name of Christ, may you be imbued by this good Reformation spirit, earnestly contend for the faith, especially in these last days. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy truth. Thy word is truth. And we thank thee that by thy truth we see and we are freed from the bondage of sin and Satan, freed to believe in the Lord Jesus and to do his will. So bless all who have come this afternoon to hear thy word, and we pray thy spirit will guide us into all truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.